Yeah, we're back on In Focus News Radio, KMAN, talking today with Riley County Commissioner John Ford, who's the Vice Chair of the Commission, and County Clerk Rich Vargo. If you have any questions, you can certainly call us in here at 75-537-1350. And you mentioned the primary. The date on that is August 4th, and the general election is coming up on, let's see, November 3rd. So not that long away here for the primary. And so if people are looking to get registered, boy, the time is now. Don't want to put it off too long. And I'm curious, have you seen, I know they were doing some registration last week at the protest in Manhattan. Rich, have you seen some people coming in and registering?
Yeah, we always, of course, during presidential election cycles, see an increase in voter registration. So yeah, we're processing new voter registrations as well at this time. Do want to remind everyone, registration books close to participate in the August 4th primary, July 14th. So July 14th is the voter registration deadline. Also encourage people going back to the mail ballot applications to get those in as soon as possible, because it takes a while to, once we get those, to get them all in the system and then balance. And then the first large group that we'll be mailing out, all of those received from May 28th through July 14th, we will be mailing out a bulk mailing of those first ballots on July 15th, the first day that advanced voting begins. And so that'll be our process, and that's why I can't emphasize enough for people to get those applications in a timely manner. That way we can have them processed and balanced and get them out in that first mailing on July 15th.
And as far as registering to vote, how much of that can be done by mail or online? Can you do it online? I'm not sure.
Yeah, there's a link on the Riley County website and also through the Secretary of State's office.
Okay. And of course, anytime you get your driver's license, I think they ask you that too, right?
They do. They do as well.
Okay. So very easy to do. And obviously, we want to see more people getting out. And I think anytime you get, a higher turnout, that usually bodes well for government, because then we get a better representation in our government.
Exactly. And the thing with the voter registration I'd like to go back to is, that's part of the voter responsibility that we emphasize. Voters have a responsibility as well to be registered on time. And especially in a community like ours, with a lot of college students, they don't get real invigorated about the election until just before the election. But just before the election, that's too late to comply with the law. And so that creates a lot of provisional ballots. And if even, they had great intentions and they go and show up at the polls on August 4th, but they didn't register prior to, that's a provisional ballot. And unfortunately, that doesn't count because it doesn't comply with the law of having registered by July 14th. So what we can't emphasize enough is the first step in being a responsible voter is getting registered in a timely manner. And that is by July 14th if you want to participate in the August 4th primary.
And explain the difference between a primary and a general election. Why do we have the two separate elections?
The primary, like some people refer it to, is the party nomination election. You're nominating the Democratic representative and the Republican representative to the two major parties in Kansas. And so that's the difference. And, hey, you have to be affiliated, and you can only vote if you're a registered Democrat, a Democratic ballot, and if you're a registered Republican, a Republican ballot. But then come the general election, all registered voters get to vote for all candidates.
And what if you want to change your affiliation? How do you go about that?
Yep, you can update your voter registration or party affiliation change. It's a very simple process. And a lot of unaffiliated voters is what we have in Riley County as well. And if they wish to vote in the primary, a Democratic or Republican ballot, they at that point in time have to affiliate with that party.
All right. And all this information is pretty easy to find on the Riley County website. You just go to the county clerk's page, I'm guessing, RileyCountyKS.gov?
Correct. And that website, it's a very useful website. There's a ton of information out there. Even encourage people to go and look. There's past election statistics. A lot of people like looking at that information. We have all of those reports out there. But, of course, during the presidential election cycle, that is the heaviest used web page on the Riley County website by far, and we direct a lot of people there for information.
Rich, I might just ask you a little perspective. I know you've been a long advocate for the mail-in balloting, but how do you anticipate this election cycle to influence maybe future elections?
Yeah, I do anticipate it will, Brandon. That's what we've heard, you know, about just advance voting in person. You know, once someone does advance voting in person, you find that they do it every time. It's still amazing, you know, how many people don't realize advance voting in person is available as much as we publicize it. But once they do it, it's just due to convenience, you know, just due to life, you know, basically, you know, both parents work nowadays, run kids from here to there, you know, school activities generally. And you never know what's going to come up on election day, whether you're going to be ill yourself or a sick family member or weather. You know, like I tell people, I remember an April election when I had to deliver poll workers in a four-wheel drive due to icy conditions. You tell people that and they would think, oh, a November election. Well, no, it was an April election. And so we never know what the weather's going to be on that day. And that's why I really promote advance voting. But people in this state, when we've had mail ballot elections before or they've done it by mail, they say, well, why can't I just do this every time? Well, state law only allows those sick and disabled to get a ballot by mail permanently. They fill out an application once, and every election we send them a ballot. And people that have done it once by mail say, well, why can't I just fill out an application? Well, state law doesn't allow that. State law says for each and every election, including special elections, if you want to vote by mail, you have to fill out an application every time. There is current legislation, and I provided testimony at the state this past year about allowing everyone to fill out one application once and be permanently on that list to get a ballot every time. And so we'll continue to pursue that legislation next year. And I think hopefully some legislators will see that, you know, their constituents really want to have that opportunity. And you wouldn't be eliminating polling places, of course, but you would just allow more people to sign up for that permanent advance by mail. And it's just a convenience thing. You know, I've just contended polling place elections are somewhat antiquated. Life is just different nowadays. As I referred to, you know, many households, both parents are working, or if it's a single parent, you know, they're working and running the kids around. And participation in elections to me is merely about convenience. People want to participate. People want to be involved in the governmental decisions. And so we have to make it easier for them to do that.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned that once people go one route, the one time they usually do it a lot. I think the last two elections I've done the in-person voting in advance down at the courthouse, and I like that so much better because for me personally, we cover elections here in the news department, so I'd just rather, you know, take it easy and be working on that and get it out of the way. As soon as it opens up, I'm down there at the courthouse. I like to get it out of the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
I'm the same way there, Brandon. When I voted in the 2004 presidential election, it was later in the evening, and it was at night, there was a line, and I almost didn't get a chance to vote. So when that became an option, I'm like, I don't have to wait till the last moment and deal with life's entities that might come up along the way. I don't have to procrastinate about it. So a good option, too, as well as, you know, what we're doing this year for mail-in.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's certainly an important thing, and I think maybe there's more emphasis on it this year with everything going on in the world, coronavirus and the George Floyd incident and the protests. I think, and I've said this to other government officials, but boy, we're really getting a sense of how important our local governments are and how important it is to get out and vote.
Yeah.
That's absolutely correct, Brandon. You know, elections tie directly into what John was talking about, you know, the grassroots of, you know, our democracy. And, you know, people, you know, you see on these various issues, to participate in that process, you have to elect those individuals that you want to represent you. And that's why I really contend, you know, our highest voter participation turnout is always presidential elections. And I contend it's just almost backwards to me. Yes, that's very important. Don't get me wrong, but you know, our local leaders like John and the rest, the things that you see happen here, boots on the ground in our own community, are the city officials, the school district officials, the county officials, and look who all the businesses have gone to, you know, that are suffering through difficult times. You know, they go to the local city and county government for assistance, and that's what we're here for. And so I really can't emphasize enough for people to participate more in your local elections as well, yeah. Because we are the ones that may be able to help them in the crisis situation like we have in the COVID-19, and as we also did in the 1993 flood.
Yeah, you know, and that's perfect segue here to the new platform you have in Riley County, John, with the YouTube channel for the county commission meetings.
Yes, something that we've got moving and working. It took a little bit of effort to get the technology in with coronavirus cameras and stuff that we're using are in high demand. I'm very happy about this. I think it does add an extra layer of transparency and accountability, particularly at the local level. And I'm always under the kind of flowing into what Rich was just saying here, that really the government, in my opinion, that governs the best is the one that governs close to the heart. And that's definitely on the local end. And this is using one of those tools and an effective tool to be able to do that. It is tough, you know, for a lot of people because our meetings are during the business day at 8:30 in the morning on a Monday and Thursday, and so that we can work with our staff and other business entities and get agreements and stuff done. So it's tough for everybody to come in here, even if it's just a single issue or if they just want to come and check it out or whatnot. You know, we had a couple of hiccups there in the first meeting, kind of get moving, and we've probably got some other stuff that we're going to have to iron out with this along the way. We're not the only ones that is, you know, that are doing this, and we'll get through it. Our IT department is very good and astute about these things, and very happy to be able to provide that alternate platform moving forward. And, you know, the good thing about that is even if you can't watch it at 8:30 in the morning on a Monday or Thursday, you can come back to it and take bits and pieces of it out. And I think it's a really good tool for us moving forward, and I think it helps with the transparency and accountability. And hopefully, you know, people have a responsibility, you know, to understand what's going on, as we've been talking about, particularly with the circumstances we're faced with currently. So this gives that extra platform, and hopefully you know, people will use it and enjoy it appropriately.
You know, you bring up the archiving aspect of it. And to me, that's the most important reason why you would record the meetings, is because, you know, we know that a lot of folks can't be there at 8:30 or 9 o'clock in the morning if they work. But having that access to it 24 hours a day, and being able to hold your government leaders accountable, I think, is so important.
Yeah, and, you know, there are a couple other things with that, too. You know, a lot of people don't realize that you can email us. We have an online submittal portal that you can go to and email us directly. You can do that any time of the night when you're watching those, if you have a question or comment or concern. I believe, you know, there is comments that are allowed on YouTube, and we have to allow that because it's considered a open public forum legally. And, you know, myself, I'm not going to speak for anybody else on this, but, you know, I use social media quite a bit. I have a page on there. A lot of people reach out to me through that, through Messenger, through email, through calls. So any of the technological tools that we can have to equate what we're doing and to do so more efficiently and effectively and to have those interactions, which I think are critically important, I welcome them. I'm always welcome.
All right. Well, we're going to let Rich Vargo go here, but Rich, we appreciate you joining us this morning, and we'll talk to you again, I'm sure, pretty soon here before the primary. We'll continue on with John Ford after the break here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN.